I stand on the word of God today, Lord, because it's my rock. Other people can doubt, other people can tell me there's other ways, Lord, but there's no gain to that. Other people can tell me that this is to that, and that's not quite right, but there's no gain. I stand on the rock. I stand on the word. The word is from you. We live in this church by the word of God. So this morning we're going to preach and talk about the Lord and have a good time with the Lord. A good time. Every church in every town and every city should have a good time when they come together in the Lord. It's essential to be with Him. He's the one that feeds us. He's the one that holds us and loves us and takes care of us. So we need to be with Him. Thank you for this day, this church, and all the hearts in this room. Lord, let them ring out, even though there's few, let them ring out so the whole world can hear us praise Him today. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Bible study because it was just so hot, we decided maybe we'll hold Bible Bible studies and they would wait until September. But I told somebody that I would call her and we would talk about the Bible this week, and I did not call her. So, Ms. Jean, I apologize for not getting to you on the telephone. You're a joy. Anybody ever talk to Jean on the phone, you know she's a joy. She really is a joy to talk to. So, Ms. Jean, thank you very much for not being mad at me today, all right? I did it, honey. I made it.
Put your hand in the air.
Friendly, I put your hand in the hand of the man.
we need to pray for each other more. We need to get that Spirit of God on fire in everybody. We need not lean on our own understanding. We need not just to see. We just need to see God in our lives. If God loves you, if you believe that God loves you, you can't get down. You can't be down because God is going to lift you up. His Spirit wants to lift you up. His Spirit wants to heal you every single day with everything you're going through. How many believe that? And say amen if you believe it and take that. Take that joy from God. Let's all remember this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. How long? Forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. That's our promise with God. That's the promise he's given us on earth as it is in heaven. You can claim that. You can claim it this morning that you want that joy on earth as it is in heaven, that you want that peace. This is what church is for. This is why you come to church. This is the message you need that changes your life. Can I have an amen? This is the message that you get to make different than you were when you came in. God says you can have that peace and that joy on earth as it is in heaven. Claim that this morning. Say, Lord, that's what I want. Hallelujah. And he will answer your prayer. Because how many know God loves to answer prayers? All right. You may be seated. You may relax. You may have joy. Want to say hi to our friends in the back there. Good to see you. God, I'm glad the church's not any bigger. No, I'm just teasing. We're glad to have you. God bless you. Responsive reading is when I read and then you read. And I want the whole church, I want this church to sing out this morning. Fred, everything okay? Did I ruin something? I touched so many wires, I mess him up. Everybody say hi to Fred. This man is responsible for recording all the sermons, and when you go online to hear the sermons, he's responsible for putting those sermons online. He's a very important person. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Responsive reading from Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. Wow. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them even shout for because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, will favor you, will surround him as with a shield. So let him ever shout for because you defend him. Let also those who love your name be joyful in you. Give him praise this morning. Miss Marilyn, where are you? How did you know? Marilyn, that's exactly what I was preaching on. I had no idea. I want joy in this church. How many want joy in church? Let God fill your joy. Hallelujah. Don't hold it back. Listen, if you don't praise him in church, I'm telling you, you're not going to praise him in your car on Thursday afternoon. You know, you're not going to say hallelujah in the middle of the day. But so start here. It starts here. And then when you leave, it gets infectious and you can't stop doing it. I promise you. Thank you, Lord. How many are ready for the quiz today? Oh. Well, I left it home. But I got three. How many know, David, you ready? How many know that Paul, the Apostle Paul, went and built churches everywhere? How many know that? He built churches, and the Bible says, now there was only one church. How many? One church that provided money for his ministry. Only one of the churches, and he reminded them and he thanked them. Was the church A, from the Philippians, or was it B, from the Galatians, or was it C, the Corinthians? Who supplied Paul with his ministry finances? How many say A, Philippians? Can I get B, Galatians? How many say B, Galatians? How many would say C, the Corinthians? The church
that provided Paul with his ministry money was the Philippians. And he thanks them for remembering him, and thanks them that they remembered. They were the only church that gave to him money. And it, how many know it's not about money, but he couldn't do what he was doing without finances. Amen? So the name of the church was? All right. I hope you got that right. Now they built, back in the Old Testament, they built these great temples and these great buildings. And God and told them what kind of wood to use. What kind of wood did they use? Was it oak? Was it ash? Or was it cedar? How many think they used oak to build those temples? All right. How many? He's a builder. That's Chuck. How many think it was ash? That's a great wood they make baseball bats out of. How many think it was cedar? The wood that they used to build the temples, God told them to use cedar. Because it lasts for a long time. In the Sermon on the Mount. Anybody ever read that in the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount? There are a lot of blessed ours. He said, blessed ours. How many blessed ours were there in the Sermon on the Mount? Was there seven? Was there eight blessed ours, or were there nine blessed ours? How many say there were seven blessed ours? Anybody be eight? How many eight? No eight? No, oh, we got it. How many say nine? How many say there were nine blessed ours? In the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave nine blessings. Hallelujah. Nine blessings. So you got that right, give yourself a hand. If you did not know that, I have to tell you this. Can I have another confession? I confess. When I put these quizzes together, somebody asked me last week, I bet I can come up with some questions you don't know. And I said to him, exactly, right? Exactly. Because when I go up and I look at my trivia questions, each time I get five of them, I sometimes get three right. Sometimes I get four right. Sometimes I get two right. You see, we all don't know what's in this book. None of us. But I enjoy what we're doing because it's about this book and we're all learning together. Now, you might not remember some of these things, but something else might touch you. And that's what it's all about, remembering the Bible. Amen? I can tell you the Yankee lineup from 1962. I can. I remember that because it was important to me. But if I can get into this Bible like I did that, imagine how my life and your life would change. Amen? Right, Brian? I can give you the lineup. I can tell you the number of the players back in 1962 when I was 10 years old. That's why I want to know the Bible. So when we do this little quizzes, it's not like your pastor knows everything, because I don't. But it's fun to share with you. When I first went to Grace and Vessels, Pastor Grace and Pastor Larry were there. And on Sundays, we had 300 people in the place, right, Greg, you remember? And I walked up to Pastor Larry and I asked him a couple of things, thinking that he would know everything about what, oh, where was that thing about the lady who was, where was that? And he said, I don't remember. And I said, what do you mean you don't remember? It's too much to remember everything, but you want to know. And you want to know where to look, and you want to learn. So the more we learn together in this book, the more we all, this church will grow. Can give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get on to work. Let's do business. Three words I want you to write down on your bulletin. Write them on go home and write them on your refrigerator. Three words. The first word is pride. You don't have to write it down right this minute, because I'm going to go over it. But the first word is pride. The second word is power. And the third word is control. Pride, power, and control. That's what we're going to talk about today with God. Can I have an amen? And what people say is not always what they mean. In other words, when they say something, your content of what they say isn't exactly what their intentions are. Amen? Are you with me? So we'll start in Exodus. Anybody ever hear the guy Moses? How many? Okay. No, I'm just asking. Moses was talking to who?
God. Moses.
And God said to Moses, this is what I want you to do, Moses. And three times, Moses said, well, God said, I want you to do this. And he said, well, suppose they don't listen to me. What is that? He said, suppose they won't listen to me. You see, that's what he said, but that's not what he meant. What did he mean? I don't want to do that. I got to come up with a way that I don't want to do that. And then God told him something, and three times he says, well, maybe they won't believe that I talked to you. What was that? That's what he said. Is that what he meant? No. What did he mean? I don't want to do that. You see, so what people say is not always what they mean. They'll use an excuse to do something, but there's always something else behind it than what they meant to do. And when you start to see that and start to understand it, it's fascinating to me. I was told that by one of the world's best psychiatrists that we live at our home in Southbury. He's world-renowned, written many books, and he's writing in 92 and writing another book. And when he told me that, it was fascinating. And I went home and my head started shaking, because what people say isn't what they mean. And then I went right to Moses. He didn't mean, what if they don't believe me? What if they didn't think you sent me? He was saying, I don't want to go. Amen? Now, anybody remember the temptation in Matthew 4 with Satan and Jesus? He hadn't eaten for 40 days, 40 nights, and Satan came to Jesus. The temptation with the Lord. Pride, power, and control. Satan. He lived in heaven. He knew God. God loved him. But there he was with Jesus. And he was tempting him to do things. What is that? That was his pride. He thought that he could trick Jesus. He was so proudful of himself that he thought, I can trick this guy. I can beat this guy. You see? And he was looking for what? If he beat Jesus, what would he have? Power. And if he had power, what would he have? Control. Now you're getting it, see? So three times he tempted Jesus. He didn't care whether Jesus did it or not. He didn't. It wasn't about what he asked him to do, you see? Make the bread and all this and you throw yourself off. That wasn't it. He wanted power. He wanted to do something so he can say, I got you. You see? And it took one thing to get it started. It took pride. He had pride. He got so proudful of himself, thinking how great he looked, how beautiful he was, that he could actually do that with God. Amen? Pride, power, and control. Now, it's no different than the Pharisees, the kings, and the rulers of other nations. Those who demand complete loyalty. People demand it. People in the world demand it. Kings, rulers, people in office, they demand complete loyalty. Here's the key. Here's the thing, though. Here's the problem for them. Amen? Yvonne, here's the problem for those people. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and His Word keep getting in the way. It keeps, I want power. I want to control you. But a believer says, nope. I bow to one king. I worship one king. I'm devoted to one king. You see, so it gets in the way. You see, these people, these kings, these rulers, it was back at the Pharisees when they argued with Jesus and they wanted him to do something special. They didn't really want that. They wanted power and control over him. Amen. Their pride thought that they could outsmart him, so they tried to trick him so that they would have power over him. And when they had power, what did they have? Control. You're right. So God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit kept getting in the way. And the Word of God, this book. It's God who says we're free. Who says we're free? God says it. And God said He will feed us. Who says it? Who says He's going to supply all our need? He will comfort us. He will guide us. Who says that? You see, that's the problem. Because we depend on God. And that's the stumbling block for those seeking power. Pride, power, and control. The total opposite of being free. When those things rule, no one is free. If you're in a place where you're looking and you're seeing pride, power, and control, nobody is free. And that one thing, I don't care what you believe or what you think, but that one thing, no one is free, that thing should scare everybody. Amen? If we get to that point, you should be scared out of your socks. Not with tornadoes and hurricanes, but the fact that somebody says we are no longer free to do anything. You should be scared of that, because that is bigger than a tornado. Men and women sit in power. Ready? Who puts them there, Sergio? We do. Who puts them there? Yet those three things are consuming. Pride, power, and control. They're consuming. They really are. And as we lose these bit of freedom, we are left with a world we have never seen before in this nation. When we give up one freedom, we have moved this nation different than our grandparents thought. When we lose one freedom, we have moved this nation to somewhere that your grandmother never believed. When we lose each bit of freedom, a few men and women decide what is and what can be or what cannot be. What can happen for the whole? A few leading and deciding laws for millions of people. You have a few people in control. We put them there. All the nations put those people there. And then they're in control for the entire nation. We give them power and control. And what does that do? It lifts up their what? Their pride. All three words together. Once pride, power, and control rules, here's the thing. Ready? Once pride, power, and control rules, guess what? God is forgotten. He has to be. God is shunned. God is disrespected. God is mocked. God is removed because His word, His peace, His joy, His comfort, His laws, His forgiveness, His mercy, and His grace, because each one in itself is a challenge to their power. Anything that we believe in God, anything that we stand on in God becomes a challenge to those people in power. Understand what I'm saying to you. They want this. They want to take care of you because they think you can't take care of yourself. They want to give to you because they think you can't earn it yourself. And the only stumbling block they have is who? Because we're dependent on who? Hallelujah. I love that. His peace, His joy, His comfort, His laws, His forgiveness, His mercy, and His grace. Because each one in itself is a challenge to their control in your life. Because you're a believer in who? Not man. The Pharisees, the kings, and the rulers say no. They say no, 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 no. No, that's okay, no. We'll give you that. We'll give you peace. We'll give you comfort. We'll give you all these great things. If you only obey our laws, obey what we're saying, accept what we say, and we'll give you just enough to sustain yourself, just enough to keep you fed. And then they go and they sit in the best seats. Amen? And we can't take care of ourselves without their guidance. Pride, power, and what? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It gets better. Here we go. The world, I'm not picking on any one place, but understand this. The world seems to demand we give up our discipline and our devotion to God. How many know that's true? The world is demanding that we give up our discipline and our devotion to God. Somehow, it is a challenge to their power and their beliefs. What is that? Pride. They have so much pride in themselves that they can sustain you, so much pride in themselves that they can do better for you, that God gets in the way, and the one thing that they seem to demand is that we give up our love and our devotion to God. Understand what that's saying to you. Understand what it means in your life. They're telling you that this place isn't essential. God isn't essential. Oh, that's it. Well, we can't follow God's laws. Okay. But that's what they're saying. Amen. Somehow it's a challenge to their power and their beliefs. If we would do that, then we would be tolerated by the unbelievers. Understand that sentence again. If you were to give up your faith in God today, if you were to forget about the Bible today, David, if you forgot about say, okay, I give up, then you would be tolerated by those who don't believe this word. All of a sudden, you'd be accepted by them. Hallelujah. This is their attempt. Their intent is to get us in line with their ideas, their ideals. Their attempt is their belief. They want us to believe as they believe, not as God does. They want us to live like they want us to live. They want us to follow their laws. They want us to accept what they say is right, whatever it is, whenever it changes. That's called power. That's called control. If we would just give up God, They'd have us. Oh, we just know that's the stumbling block. These believers are crazy. These Christian people go to church on Sunday. They're nuts. Yeah, but we're nuts because they can't touch us. They can't reach us. They can't override us. Their power is weak when we stand with God. Amen? Come on. Their content, their idea, what they really want with all this is control. That's what they want. They can and will never be subject to what God wants out of their ignorance. They'll never be in control of God. They'll never believe God. They'll never follow God out of their ignorance. And the last line on that page I wrote is, how much are they losing? Think about this. You all love God, what God has done in your life, how God has changed you. God has made you stronger. God has led you down different roads, and God has taken you out of places and helped you. All that they're losing. You know, I read that before. His joy, His love, His mercy, His forgiveness. They're losing that. They gain is nothing compared to what they would gain if they gave their heart to God. Amen. If they would let go of the pride, the power, and the control, and they said, okay, God, you lead us, we would all be blessed. The world would all be blessed. This nation would be so blessed, so easy, if we focused on God and not ourselves. If we focused on God and not control and not power, and let the pride go, because it's all pride. And what does God say about pride? It's the first thing that comes before what? The fall. Pulling away, denying His word, refusing to accept it, and then openly doing anything to remove it only puts the spotlight on everything they are trying to hide and trying to destroy. I'm thankful that they're trying to do what they're trying to do. I'm thankful when people say that about God. When they finally admit and they're finally honest and they have enough pride to say that we don't need God, that God's not essential, that church isn't essential, that we don't need to follow God's laws. They have a better way. I'm glad when they do that. You know, you might say I'm crazy, but it puts a spotlight on it. Amen? It puts a spotlight on it so everybody can see. There was something on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. It's not important exactly what it was, but people saw it, and they saw these doctors talking about some medicine. And what people, I don't know if anybody saw it, and Greg, I don't know if you saw it. It was interesting. Listen, there was a bunch of doctors wearing white coats, of women and men, and they said something about a medicine. I said, that was pretty, my wife showed me, and that was pretty interesting. But people didn't like it. Other people in control and control didn't like it. And they did the worst thing they can possibly do to themselves. You know what they did? They removed it. They said, oh no, we can't let this happen. And the second that they removed it, Gene, other people said, what? Wait, what was that? Wait, what? Hey, do you have that? Let me see that. All of a sudden, people said, wait a minute. Wait, time out. What was it that you removed? I want to see it now. You see, what they did is they thought they were going to hide it, but by removing it, they put a spotlight on it. So everybody's, not whether you agreed with it or not, it doesn't matter, understand? You might disagree with it completely, but even if you did, you might say, wait a minute, I want to see that. If I'm going to disagree, I want to know what I'm disagreeing on. You see, they put a spotlight on it. They removed it, and it made people see. The same thing with God. The more people start telling you that God isn't important, it puts a spotlight on. Well, why do people love Him so much? Why do they care so much? What does God do in their lives? And it opens the door for us to tell them exactly, amen? That's why you need to be bold today. That's why you need to be bold as Christians and tell people about God. It's not a joke. It's not a hard thing to do. But that's, see, they're exposing it. I'm glad they are. Pride, power, and control. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Psalm 2. I'm going to read from the Bible. I want you to listen to me now. This Psalm 2. A psalm written to celebrate the coronation of an Israelite, written by David. Why do the nations rage, and the people plot in vain thing? The king of the earth sets themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointing, saying, let us break their bond in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Nations are raging together. And what do they say? Let us break their bonds. Right there in the Bible. Let me read it again. Let us break their bonds in pieces. Not just a little bit, but in pieces. And cast away their cords from us. They want to break our bond with Jesus with pieces. And they want us and them to just cast them away. But listen to what God says. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. God laughs not at the nations, but at the confused thoughts about power. It is the laughter of a father when he sees his three-year-old boast that he or she can outrun him or beat him in a wrestling match. The father knows the limited strength of his little child, and God knows the boundaries of power of the nations. Every nation is limited, but God is omnipotent. If you have to choose between confidence in God and confidence in any nation, I tell you, choose God. A God is all-powerful. He created the world anew. And knew about the empires of the earth long before they came into being. But pride and power caused nations and leaders to rebel against God and try to break free of Him. Many world leaders boast of their power, rant and rave against God and His people, and promise to take over and form their own empires. But God laughs because any power they have comes from Him. And He can also take it from them. We need not to fear the boast of a tyrant. They are in God's hands and will be judged by God. Amen. That's Psalm 2. Thank you, Lord. In the book of Timothy, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrines which accords with godliness, he is proud. He is what? Knowing nothing. Knowing what? But is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is a great gain. Pride, power, control. The only way that they can have control over us is that we give up God. They're prideful enough because they don't know God. Their pride says, oh, I can do that. I can take those people away from God. That's their pride, see? And when they do that, then they have what more of? They have power over us. They'd be able to tell us that, well, we're going to allow this and you can't say anything. We're going to do this and, well, you really can't do anything about it because you refuse your God. And when they do that, when they have those two, then they will have control. But they're foolish people to think that Christians, somebody that loves God, is going to give it up. Somebody that doesn't know about God, they don't understand the depth of your love. I don't care what church you go to or where you go, but when you get into this book and you love Him, nothing can separate you from. You don't want anything. You want this. You want this book. You want to live in this book. You want to live in these promises. You want that God to direct you. Not man, not His laws, not His ways. We're obedient to that. We want to be subject. We want to be good Christians. Amen. We want to show the good Christians, but we want them to understand. Nobody can take my God away. Nobody can take this book from me, and you can't control me because God is my devotion. I honor God. I kneel to God. He is my Lord and Savior. He is my salvation. You have offered me nothing compared to that. And if the world would just understand that and all turn to God, I know it's crazy, but if the world turned to God, imagine the greatness of the world if everybody felt the same way. If everybody loved each other and was kind to each other, and the one thing that's mandatory in this book, one thing that's mandatory in this book is what? Forgiveness. So if we all live with that in this book, imagine the greatness of what we'd be, the greatness of people. Other people would want to know every second, what did you do? How'd you do it? Who are you talking to? That's why you need to be bold. You need to tell people about the Lord. Tell people about this book. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed because you're in the right place. The light is shining on you. Let it shine on other people. And understand when they try to do 10 things to God, it exposes them. So it puts the spotlight on them. It exposes their pride. It exposes their desire for power. And exposes the real content of everything they're doing. Everything they're saying to us, everything they want to do to us, it comes to one word, control. That's what they want. That's their intent. But we're Christians and we have one person that we love and His name is Jesus. Give Him praise this morning, church. I have to tell you, and maybe it'll happen to you, when Dr. Houle, the doctor we spoke to, talked to me about content and intent, my head started to go crazy because I started to think about when people say something to you, it's not really what they mean. If they would tell you what they mean, then you know what they mean. But see, so what they tell you is one thing, but their intention is totally different. And so I start watching TV and my head starts going crazy because I watch this person talking and that person talking. But that's not what he means. He wants me to do something else, but he's going to use that to go. And it's wonderful when your brain starts to do things like that. You start seeing things in different light. And I start to realize that they want to remove God. And I start to realize this. And I said, now I know why. There's a simple reason, Gene, why they want to remove God. Because he's in the way. With the Pharisees, Jesus was in the way. He was going to take my power. And I had power. And I had control. And this guy was going to take it. He was in the way. And that's why these people, when they want to get rid of God, because he's in the way. But they're foolish people thinking that we would give up something like that. See, that just shows you the ignorance of what they don't know. With their pride, even Satan was talking to Jesus right there, and he was trying to tempt Lord Savior Jesus. It was nothing but pride. Oh, yeah, do this. Yeah. Because he wanted power, and he wanted control. Amen? You know, just see that. See that. Understand that. It'll change how you think, how you feel. But nobody's going to take God from your heart. You know, how many ever get depressed? How many ever get sad? Come on, raise your hands. You know you all do. Have bad days. Sometimes a bad week. A bad month. You think God's mad at you for that? No, of course not. You think God's upset at you if you have doubt? You walk around with doubt for 2 months? Of course not. He doesn't worry about your doubt because he knows you. He knows your heart. He knows you'll be back soon. He knows that something's going to happen and your joy is going to be exceedingly high. And all that doubt, all he's going to do is say to you, oh God, I wish I didn't do that for 2 months. I wasted my time being depressed. That's what God will show you. You see, when that's exposed, you say, oh, Bill, I wasted all this time being upset, being depressed when I could have had joy. See, God was saying, I was with you. I got you. I know who you are. I'm going to lift you up, and you're going to see it, and everything's going to be great. But the only thing I can't help you with is you're going to look back and see all the time you could have had that you just fell back. I'm not mad at you. I love you. You didn't do anything wrong. You just fell back. You just slipped. You forgot. And so he picks you up and carries you. And then you look back and say, geez, all that time I was worried about paying my bills or having happy or having a car or having food or having just happiness. And I was foolish because I had it all the time. Click your heels 3 times, you're back home again. You always had the power. You always have the power because you have who? God. Hallelujah. We got Jesus for this. That cross. Tell me one king of the world ever gave us that. One ruler, one president, one governor, one anybody ever gave us that. And they think that they can give us something better than that. That's pride. That's crazy. We got God. We got control because we have the Lord. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sitting at the table with his friends. And he loves them all. And he said, this is my body being torn for you. You don't know what's going to happen, but my body's going to get torn for you. And he said, I want you to eat this, and I want you to do this always in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities of this week. Lord, help us to be cleansed, as David said. The sins that we commit against you, not against men. So help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be stronger today. We might have carried some doubt with us. We might have carried some depression with us. We might be carrying a spirit of anything that's not from you, Lord. But help us. Lead us. We know that you're there. We know that we too shall get through this, Lord. But the shorter it is, the less I have to look back and say, Lord, I'm sorry I doubted you. He has never left us in one spot. He has never left us there. He's come for us time after time, and he'll do it again. You just have to let go of the doubt, let go of the fear, and reach for his hand. He poured the wine into a cup, and he said, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. So accept the forgiveness that you asked for this morning. Accept it and ask him, Lord, to come into your life and bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. His house today. You chose to get up this morning and get dressed and come to God's house today. I see it. People here see it, but let me tell you something. God sees it. He sees you wake up, maybe you have a hard time walking, maybe things are happening in your life, maybe you had 7 excuses not to come, and you walk through every one of them to come. God sees it. If you did all that, then reach for Him more, love Him more, and accept His love and accept those blessings. If you did all that, then rejoice in the God that you love. Get into that Bible, get into His Word, and feed off of that. Feed off of His love and His kindness, His comfort. His control is beautiful. His control leads to blessings, prosperity, good success in that book. If you let Him feed you, depression has to leave. If you let Him feed you, doubt has to leave. If you just realize, no matter what you're going through right now, and I'm sure it's serious to you. I'm sure to you it's serious. You're only going to have to say someday, really soon, if not right this minute, you're going to have to say, Lord, forgive me for doubting again. Hallelujah. Give Him praise, church.